Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The topic that we are going to consider this evening is how can I enter the door of the sheep? Now, at the outset, let us revise what we have learned, as we all know, and was mentioned also by Elder a while ago. We were all totally depraved. We cannot see, we could not see, we have not seen, we have not known, and we were unable to know the door of the sheep. No one is able to do that by himself. All are dead in trespasses and sins. And therefore, no one by himself can enter the door of the sheep by his own way, by his own strength, by his own wisdom. It takes the grace of God. And indeed, those who are totally depraved, and that included us, it is by the grace of God that He has chosen, elected unconditionally a people for Himself. It was not because He looks forward to see us and He knows that we will come to our fellowship this evening. It's not that He knows we will be Christians and we will be believers a few years ahead or centuries ahead. It's because of His mere good pleasure that He chooses you and me. We don't have any qualification. We don't have any character. We do not have anything done in order for us to qualify to be chosen by God. How He chose us, it was by His mere good pleasure. And that's how we should give thanks and praise to Him, and how we should devote ourselves back to serve Him, because we did not even volunteer to be chosen. It was Him who elected us even before the foundation of this world. And once He elected us, has written us in the book of life, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And when He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, although the atonement that Jesus did was able, capable, and powerful enough to save all mankind, but we have to understand that it was all designed and intended for you whom He has chosen. And that's the limited atonement that we know. The atonement was for all. It is able, it is capable, it is powerful enough to save. It is sufficient for all. But it is efficient for those whom God has elected. It was designed, it was purposed for you and me whom God has chosen before the foundation of this world. This is not a doctrine of the devil that limits only those whom God had favored. It was His will. And the Bible describes us clearly this truth. And once He has given us, or He has atoned us, offered Himself to die for us, this is how we have received this irresistible grace. Grace that cannot be rejected. He has given us the grace to believe. And that's why we all come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all because of Him. And once we are in Him, He will preserve us. Why we keep on coming, why we keep on worshiping, why we keep on serving, why we keep on worshiping Him, it's all by His grace. It's not by our own will, our own strength, our own desire. Yes, We cannot remove out also that that truth that once He has given us the grace that will cause us also to have this longing and desire to love Him and serve Him and adore Him. That's the result of the grace that He has given us. So it's all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. So does this mean that this question, how can I enter the door of the sheep, invalid? Does this mean this should not be asked because, you know, it's all of God? This should not be asked because, you know, we are all saved by God's grace. I believe it's a very good question that we have to deal with. Why? Because many are believing that they are saved, they are Christians, they have entered into the door of the sheep, but they are deceived. As we know of how the Lord Jesus describes that in the end, at the time of the judgment, many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? Have we not done these wonderful works for thee?" And the Lord will answer, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I know you not." Does this mean that they have done in a manner where they failed, or they have not done their best, or they have not done what should have been given to the Lord? No, they have done what is even greater than what we can expect, but they have done it wrongfully. They were deceived. They have entered into the wrong door. They have followed a wrong shepherd, and they believed in a false savior or salvation sacrifice, which is not according to the scriptures. That's why it's good for us to examine, have I entered the door of the sheep? How can I enter? How have I entered? Because I may be imagining myself that I am inside a sheepfold, but the wrong one. And when we realize in the end, oh, we are not in the right kind of sheepfold. I have wrongly entered into the door. Am I really following the right door? Have I entered the correct door? It's a good to examine this in our lives. This is not to let you be worried and be anxious and be afraid. Oh, am I truly a believer? Or am I saved? Now, let us consider God's word to encourage ourselves and to assure ourselves that indeed we are in the right gate, or we have entered the right gate. And please allow me to go back from the first verse of John chapter 10 down to verse 18. To consider this matter. And so, here in verses 1 to 5, we have the Lord Jesus Christ giving us a parable. This is what is mentioned in verse 6. "This parable spake Jesus unto them." So, from verses 1 to 5, this is a parable. And we know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what is this earthly story? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now in the olden days, in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this sheepfold. It could be outside, and you will see some of these pictures illustrated, where there are stones as walls with briars and thorns up there to protect these sheep from wolves to come in and eat them or devour them. Or it could be some kind of caves or some kind of shed that they put the sheep inside. And in this sheepfold, there are many, many owners of the sheep. Some poor shepherds, they don't have enough resources to have their own sheepfold. So many owners gather their sheep in such a sheepfold. And he says that because there are many owners, there will be shepherds who will come. But Jesus wants that there are those who will not go and enter into the sheep, the gate, the door. They will climb up. Of course, this kind of shepherds that will climb up some other way are those thieves and robbers. But he mentioned, he that enters in by the door is the sheep shepherd of the sheep. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So this is the first thing that we have to take note. Have I entered the right kind of gate? Or how can I enter the door of the sheep? First, we have to take note that there is this shepherd who enters in by the door. And the first thing that we have to consider, we must consider and follow the right shepherd. Because this shepherd whose porter or who openeth for him is the sheep or the shepherd of the sheep. He that enters in by the door. Some will climb up the other way. They're thieves and robbers. They're not the owners of the sheep. But there is one who will just come, and the porter, who is the guard of that night and protect the sheep from the beasts, he will just open because he knows the man. He knows the shepherd. So we must make sure that this is the shepherd that we are following. Or else we have followed another shepherd that may not lead us into the right door of the sheep. Of course, we know later that this is just one. But let us consider this shepherd. How do we know that this is the right shepherd? How do we know that this is the shepherd that we must follow? First, he is the one whom the porter openeth. He's welcome. He's not somebody who is climbing up the other way. And then, take note of this, and the sheep hear his voice. This shepherd will call his shepherds. This shepherd will call his sheep. With his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows his sheep. He will call. One thing that we have to take note of is, if we are this sheep following this right shepherd, we can hear his voice. We can identify his voice. We know his voice. We know this is the word of my shepherd. How do we know? Because of the Bible. Because of the scriptures. If there are other words that would say, oh, you have to do this. Oh, you have to sacrifice this. Oh, you have to go through this. Oh, you have to read this. That is not the word of my Savior. But the word of my Savior is in the 66 books of the scriptures. And therefore, if I hear his voice coming from here, I know this is the shepherd, because he is talking about his word that is from the scriptures. All the sheep will identify, will hear the words of the shepherd. They will know. And they will follow him, for they know his voice. They will know his voice. Those who are ignorant of God's word, they may look for some other wisdom books. They may look for some other extra books in religion. They may look for some other additional information. But for the believers, for the Christians, once he hear the voice of the Lord coming from the scriptures, so this is the one. And he will follow. So are we following this right or this shepherd of the sheep? Because the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice, and the stranger will they not follow. but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know not the voice of the strangers. When the voice of this shepherd will say, oh, you have to offer sacrifices, oh, you have to pay, to give penance, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that in order to be saved. We say, oh, this is not the voice of my shepherd. The voice of my shepherd says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Believe, trust in, he saves you by his grace. But there are voices that say, oh, you must come to church, you must be baptized. But that's not the word. That's not the voice of my shepherd. The voice of my shepherd says, for by grace are you saved through faith. But the voice of the strangers will say, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. You have to sacrifice, you have to give this money, you have to have these sacrifices, you have to go for a pilgrimage, or you have to have some kind of sacrifices, of penance, you have to confess, you have to be baptized. All this must be done, and when you have done this, then you will be saved. And that is not the voice of my shepherd. My shepherd says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My shepherd says, confess. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the voice of my shepherd. Have we followed the right shepherd? And we will know that this is the shepherd because he exactly tells us from his word. That's why it's important for us as Christians, as believers, to know his word. And it's good that you are here. It's good that you continue on studying God's word. I know you have been studying the word of God more than... I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 30 years old. And you have gone through the Bible many times more than me. But we have to continue. Our study of God's word is lifetime. We have to know it. We have to, because without knowing the word of God, we cannot hear the voice of the shepherd. There is twisting, just like what Satan did when he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. You jump and the angels will keep you. And he quoted Psalms for that. But of course, if you are in the word of God, you hear the voice. Jesus says, no, it is written. What you have said is not written. It may be a portion of it were written, but it's lacking. So we know who the shepherd is. It's important. How can I enter the door of the sheep? It's important to know the shepherd. And we know that he is indeed the shepherd if we hear his voice. And we cannot identify, we will not know his voice if we are not familiar of it. So it's important that we continue on studying God's word. The second thing that we have to consider is in verses 6 to 10. Of course, you have to know that this is the right door. Not just the shepherd, but the door of the sheep. He says here in verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says, I am the door of the sheep, he is of course still the same. He is the shepherd, he is the door of the sheep. He was saying that we have to follow him, and when we enter in, we must enter through him. Now, in the olden times, the sheepfold has no gates, and it is a narrow door towards this sheepfold, and usually in the field is the shepherd who will lie down to protect the sheep inside. That means he is identifying, I am the door. You go through me. If you will not enter through me, you will climb up any other way, or you will find another window or whatever, that is not through me. And so we see here that indeed for us to know, to enter into the door of the sheep, we have to identify and to know that it is the right door. Because there are many doors. There are some doors that will invite you to come into to the way towards the emotionalism, the way towards social gospel, the way towards a door towards health and wealth gospel. There are many doors today. And it's through us that you can be saved. It is through only this church that you can be saved. If you don't go through this church, you will not be able to enter into God's kingdom. That's the understanding. It's only through this church that you can be saved. You may go to other churches, but these churches must come also to our church, because this is the only church that Jesus established, and it is the way towards heaven. Well, how can we know it is the right door? How can we know that we have entered the correct door? If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, we know His voice, we follow Him, because He says here, they follow Him, for they know His voice. Here we have also the character and the picture of how we can enter into the door of the sheep. Here He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. There are some of those who will invite, those who will show them to people that He is, this is through me, this is through this church, this is through this group. And Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And this is one thing that describes that truly this is the right door. Because when you go through Him, you shall be saved. When you enter through Him, you are saved. And you know, a person who is truly saved knows he has the assurance of life eternal. He's not doubting. When you go through a church, and you have to labor, and you have to give, and you have to sacrifice, and you do these penance, and you do these sacraments, and all the things that you have to do, all the rituals, all the ceremonies, you still have to strive. Why? Even the priests and the bishops and the pope cannot tell you that if you give $1 million, you can be saved. There is no bishop, there is no pope that can tell you, if you give this $1 million to the church, that you are assured of your salvation. You have to go through this. You have to do this. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us who have entered into the right door, we have the assurance of salvation. Do you? At any time the Lord will take us out of this world, we know we are to wake up in heaven. We know that our spirit will be with Him. Our body will remain here, but we have that peace in our hearts. We can sleep in the night with peace, because I know even if the Lord will take me home this night, I will surely be in His place. Why? Because Jesus gave Himself for me, He died for me, and I know His promises. It's true and faithful. And I know the word that He has given me. I believe in that one. So I have this assurance. And the Spirit of God in me, indwelling in me, assures me that indeed there is life eternal. I am sealed. I will not be anxious and depressed and stressed to know whether I'm saved or not. The Word of God tells me. And we cannot explain why we trust in it. Why we have faith in it. It is by the grace of God that we truly believe. And so we have that assurance. If we have entered the right door, we have the assurance of salvation. We don't be like chicken without heads running around. How can I be saved? How can I enter into heaven? What else will I do? Will I join this ministry, or will I give this, or how much will I give so that I can be saved? No. We have that assurance. We have peace in our hearts. And that peace in our hearts will cause us also to give and labor for the Lord. Because we are assured. Why accumulate so much in my bank when I know I will be leaving this earth? How much will I give to the Lord so that this will bear fruit, that others may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the assurance of a Christian. He works hard in order to earn more and to give more to the Lord. Why? Because he's assured. And when I know I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved, I know I have eternal life, all these things that I have, I will spend for the Lord so that others also may come to the saving grace of God, so that they will be with me and they will have assurance also of life eternal. There's a peace. You can leave your job. You can, if God calls you, you will not be worried, oh, what about my family? What about, no, you can do this because it's God who assured you. It's something that maybe it's difficult to explain, but it is experiential in the life of a believer, that you are truly assured that you have entered into the right door because you have the assurance of salvation. And it says also that you can go in and out and find pasture. This is a liberty that he has given us. And this is through the covenant that the Lord has entered for us. Now, this covenant with the Lord, when like Abraham was just sleeping or dozing and watching the Lord Jesus, watching the Lord Jehovah went through or passed through the meat or the carcasses to show that you're not part of those who will of fulfilling this covenant. I will fulfill it for you. And that's the assurance that you have this liberty, this freedom, the assurance of salvation, and the abundance of God's spiritual provision. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. Those other shepherds, if you have entered into the wrong door, it'll just cause you to be worried, to do more and to work hard and so that you can be saved. There are many things that are required of you. The burden is so heavy. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ called us, the hireling. But if you are in Christ, you have entered into the right door, you have this life, and that you have it more abundantly. You have peace in your heart. You can share it to others. You can tell others of this peace. You are not afraid to tell others of this life eternal because you are assured of it. There are some Christians who are so shy to say that there is life in heaven because they are not yet assured of whether I can go to heaven or not. But if you know of this spiritual provision of God, you yourself can say and tell. You have to believe, because this is what is in store for you. The Lord has provided for you this life eternal, and you will have it more abundantly. Not in the abundance of dollars and cents. You know, just this afternoon, I was scrolling my phone, I saw this Forbes news that, we have now 1 trillionaire in the world. Whoa. And it tries to explain, what is a trillion? A trillion is 1,000,000,000. He said that even if every hour you spend $1,000,000, it can still provide for around a century. Because it's 1,000,000,000. I know we don't have that because we are counting our money in hundreds and tens, okay? So I don't want you to imagine about this. You may be envious of Elon Musk. But anyway, he considers the trillionaire. But we have this abundance. It can't be paid by trillions. What is next to trillion, I don't know. You can pay that amount in this kingdom, in this place, in this life eternal that God has for you in heaven. That's why we have this abundance we can share. And we can tell. And Jesus, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we have from verse, not only that we have to know the right shepherd will lead us and we follow him, and we know that he is indeed this right shepherd because we know his voice. And every Christian who reads the Bible will hear it. And every Christian who is aware and studying the Bible will also notice that if there are strangers, because they will talk nonsense or things that are outside the scriptures, and you will hear, oh, this is not from the Bible. And then, when you have entered into the right door of the sheep, and of course it's the Lord Jesus Christ, you have believed in him, you have trusted in him, you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you have that assurance of salvation. You have peace. And you have that life eternal, and you will experience that more abundantly even on earth. But the next thing that we have to consider also from 11 to 18 is that you have to, with this, you have to believe the right sacrifice, or right Savior. Because Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There are so many shepherds. Billy Graham was known as the shepherd of America. The former pope, who was a German, was called a German shepherd. And he said, oh, this is, we have to follow him because he's a shepherd. But the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the kind of Savior, that's the kind of sacrifice that we have to understand. If we truly have entered into the right door, we have the good shepherd. And this good shepherd is one who gave himself to die for our sins. He will not just lead us and cause us to imitate him and follow him and listen to him. So many gurus, so many masters or teachers or founders of religion that will tell you do this and do that. You have to follow me. You have to meditate in this way. You have to pray like this. You have to go for a pilgrimage. You have to do many things. But none of all the founders of religion in this world have given themselves to die for our sins. They just organize. They just claim that you have received a message from God. They just would say to you that, oh, this is what God says through me, and that's why you have to follow me. But Jesus is different. Why? Because he is a good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He died for us. He paid the penalty for all our sins. And he also lived out his life to earn that righteousness that we must have. That's how Jesus did all this for us. That's why he said he's a good shepherd. He's not just an ordinary shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And he's not an hireling. A hireling is somebody who's paid and he's just there because he is being hired and being taken in to be paid to do the work. And they, of course, the hireling is not the owner of the sheep. So when the wolf comes, he will just leave and flee and run away. He's scared. But Jesus, he gave his life. And that's why we have to know that this is the good shepherd, the right Savior. For Jesus says that many will come and say, I am Christ. But did he die for me? We know the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. He rose again. That's why that's important character also that we are the character that we have to know, or the description that we have to know this shepherd. Because here he gave himself for us, and he says also, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and I'm known of mine. He knows us and we know him. And this relationship between us and the Savior is something that is, you know, we may say it's mysterious, but there is really that, you know, we know we love Jesus and he loves us. And Christians will not be doubting whether he cares for us. We know there are times that we are worried whether Jesus or God is doing or helping us. But we have the assurance in our hearts every time we hear his, we read his word, we hear his voice telling us that indeed he is with us. And that relationship with the Holy Spirit in us will tell us and teach us and will show us that indeed God is there to help us, to provide, to protect us, to show us his way, to comfort us, to encourage us. Because we are a people who are weak. We know that there are many times that we even want to flee away from many services, or and we want to be busy of the things of the world. But it is the Spirit of God that will convict us and will cause us to be guilty of what we have done and will bring us back unto him. But this is something that is not understood by unbelievers. But Christians, you know. That's why if you are truly in the right gate and you believe in the right good shepherd, the right Savior, the sacrifice, you know it in your heart. You don't have to ask, am I following the right Savior? You have it. The Savior is, and you experience this in your life, that God, the Spirit of God, tells you every time you read God's Word. It's not just by emotion, by the way. It's not just by feelings. You know it in your heart, because when you read God's Word, the Spirit of God will teach us and will show us that this is the truth. And that is the anchor that we have to highlight, that is for this topic that we have, the Word of God. Because we cannot hear his voice if we do not know the Word of God. We don't have the assurance of salvation if we do not know the Word of God. And we don't know this Savior if we do not know who he is. And we can only know the right Jesus, the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus, through his scriptures. So we must read God's word. We should not say, oh, it's enough. I have read so much of the Bible. I've been reading it for 50 over years. And so I can relax. No, please. If you want to hear God's voice, if you want to hear the voice of Jesus, if you want to hear the voice of the shepherd, you have to read his word. And every time we read, we can hear his voice. And every time he calls us, we know that this is his voice, because we know that it is from his word. So he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Those who are Christians truly in the right gate, or that have entered into the right gate, they know their Savior. They know their Savior. They will not say that, I know Jesus, but there's still things that I'm questioning about. That was he really truly, did he die for us? Did he rise or rose back from the dead? There are many questions from God's Word. No, for a Christian, he knows that the Bible is the truth, and he receives it not by force, but the Spirit of God causes us to understand this is the truth. And he says, the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I gave myself, I sacrificed, I offer myself. And this is one thing also that we can learn from this shepherd, the good shepherd. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And take note, this was the time that he was talking to the Jews. And this is referring to us Gentiles. How we praise the Lord. He's not just the Savior of the Jews. He's the Savior of the Gentiles. He's our Savior. And so we know He is God. He's truly the good shepherd, because He's not just saying, "Oh, I'm the Savior of the whites. I am the Savior of the Caucasians. I am the Savior of the Americans." No, He is not. He is the Savior of the Jews and the Gentiles. There is these fold, which are not of the. There is this sheep. They are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They will hear you. We will hear His voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. There's only one in this world who died for His people, but there is only one also who rose from the dead. Anyone here who can say, "Oh, that one also, he rose from the dead." There's only one. You might ask whether he truly lived. If you read the scriptures, and even history would tell us that indeed he showed himself not just to 1, 2, 3, but even 500 people. He rose from the dead. And he went back to heaven. And he said, "I am coming back." Or the angels told the disciples, the apostles, "Oh, he will be coming back." In the same manner. And so we are looking forward to Him coming back. Many people say, "Oh, that has been 2,000 years and He did not come." Praise the Lord that He is still our God, who is so patient, long-suffering to us. Word. Because if He came back several years back, what about us? And that's why we are thankful to this Savior. So we know that we know Him. We must know that we are following the right Savior. We know His voice. We can identify His voice. We know His word. And we know the assurance that we have when we believe in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the door of the sheep. But above all, we also know Him, that He is the one who sacrificed for our life. That He paid the penalty of all our sins. And not only that He paid the penalty, He earned that righteousness. Because no one can enter into heaven without righteousness. And no one can enter into God's kingdom with his sins unpaid. So both of that was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again." Who else in this world? Is there a person who can say, "Okay, tomorrow I will die, the next day I will rise back. I will be alive. I'll just experience death for 3 days, and after that I'll just come back to life again. Just wait for me." It was only the Lord Jesus Christ who had the power to take it again. That proves that He truly is God Himself. And this was done because of the Father sending Him. But of course, He also Himself loved us and He gave Himself for us. So, we have to examine ourselves. Yes, we are Christians. We are believers, we are worshippers, we are members of Truth BP. We are Bible Presbyterians. But the question is, have we followed the Savior? Have we heard His voice? And how do we know His voice? Is it really the voice that we have read in the scriptures, if we are ignorant of the Bible, we cannot identify with his voice. And if we are not aware also of the promises of the scriptures, we know not whether we have life eternal. We still strive. I must serve. I must be in this fellowship. I must attend this church camp. I must do this. I must serve so that I will be assured that I am a Christian and in the end I will be saved. No, it is not. Yes, we do all these things because we are assured. And the assurance comes from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to know that indeed this is the Savior. For today we have so many who identify themselves as the Christ. A few weeks back, we have Reverend Dennis and brother went to Philippines. I don't know if they have gone through this. We have this kingdom there. There is a kingdom of Kibuloy. And this Kibuloy, a preacher in Davao, said that he is the second coming Christ. It's a kingdom, a beautiful place. That's his own jet. So many people are deceived. And you may think, oh, because these Filipinos, they are easily deceived. Not only Filipinos. You can't buy jet if you only deceive Filipinos. We don't have money. He deceives that even not only Filipinos, Americans and other rich nations believe that he's the second coming Christ. That's how deceitful is our age today. That's why we must make sure. Is he really the Savior? Did he really die and rose again from the dead? No, he's not. His voice is different from the scriptures. What he's telling is different from the Word of God. That's why we must make sure. Even when I was in the Roman Catholic Church, I was 30 years old. I believe, and if someone will ask me whether where will I be when I die? Because there's always the question of some, like the Seventh-day Adventist, the Jehovah's Witnesses or other religions would just say, especially the Baptists, would say, where will you be when you die? I could tell them, I'll be going to heaven. Why? I was so devoted to the Roman Catholic Church. I was in the charismatic movement of the Roman Catholic Church. I spoke in tongues. I led worship services contemporary, speaking in tongues. And I was assured of myself that, oh, when I die, even before I go to the gates of heaven, Peter will call me. Come, Jose. Welcome to the gates of heaven. It's open for you. You are so devoted to the Roman Catholic Church. You must enter into heaven. That was the assurance that I had. They could not witness to me because any time they asked, I would say, I'll be going to heaven. I don't need your religion. I don't need your church. If you believe Jesus will save you, I have done so much that I know I will be in heaven when I die. That was my assurance. But I praise and thank the Lord that indeed He is so gracious and merciful for a sinner, deceived man like me. He just opened my eyes to know the truth that I am a very wretched, sinful person. That I cannot be saved by what I have done. And when the Lord showed me how wretched, how sinful I was, I tried to make up myself to be in the church every day. I have to confess to the priest. I have to pray the rosary. I have done so many things so that there will be peace in my heart. But I could not sleep. I thank God for that conviction. I don't know what happened to me. I thought I'd be mad, crazy. Because I could not sleep for how many nights. I just take a shower so that I will not sleep because I was so scared that if I sleep, I will wake up and be in hell. That was the scam. I don't know how to explain that, but that really happened to me, and I thank God for that. My the hairs will be standing here. I'm scared. I'm sweating. Because I realize that I don't have any hope of entering heaven. The Lord showed me, you are such a wretched, sinful person. You are damned, condemned. You are worthy to go to hell. And that, I felt, tried to do my best to be saved. I tried to do my best to appease God. It was only when somebody, and I believe it was God sent, that he, when we met, he just asked me, are you a Filipino? I was in Japan at that time. And he shared to me, because probably he saw in my face that sorrow, that sadness, that melancholy. I was so sad. I was so depressed. I didn't know what to do. And the Lord opened my eyes. Oh, what a great deliverance. And you will know that it's really that you have entered the gate, because immediately that burden will be taken. I'm sure you have experienced this. That burden. But the next night I could sleep well. The next night I don't need to be early to wake up in order to go to church. I have this assurance. I know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty of my sins. I will be in heaven, not because of what I have done, but because of what He has done for me. That assurance. I have entered into the right gate. I have followed the right shepherd. And I have identified and known the right Savior, the sacrifice that He has offered for me. And I have this joy in my life. Life abundant. So that I shared to everybody my salvation, my experience. And it was through that the Lord burdened me. If God saved you in that marvelous way, why can't you give back your life to the Lord? I tried to hold the things in the world. I tried to tell God, oh Lord, I want to serve you, but can be, if you will allow me to remain in Japan or back in the Philippines, that would be, that's okay. I have a work there. I can also work here. That's how I will serve you. But the Lord, if you have really experienced His goodness, His love, He will tell you what to do. You'll just, I don't know how I did it, but I just submitted to the Lord. It's by His grace. It is God who is the Lord Jesus, who is our shepherd. We will know Him by His words, and we have the assurance by His words when we have entered in Him, and we have assurance that indeed He is our Savior, because He gave His life for us and He rose from the dead. And this is the Savior that we have, and we can be assured, I have entered the right door. I am in the right door of the ship. I have not entered into a wrong door. I have not entered into a different door. And you know it. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, testifies in your lives that He is indeed in you, indwelling in you. And that's how we know that He is indeed our shepherd, our door of the sheep, and we have entered into Him. So I pray we'll examine ourselves. There are many today who say, oh, I'm a Christian. I have prayed a sinner's prayer. I my pastor told me that when I pray this, I'll be going to heaven. But then their lives doesn't change. Have they entered the door? Maybe they have seen the door, but they have not entered into it. And they just claim that, oh, I will enter. I'm part of that, but I am still outside. Why? Because there is no change in his life. The Lord, the Spirit of God, does not bear fruit in him because he is not indwelt by the Spirit of God. There are also now who claims, oh, I am in the right church. I am in the right religion. I am in the right group. Why? Because I have this feeling that every time I go to church, oh, I'm happy. I'm excited, I jump up and down, I cry. That is not the basis of emotion, is not the basis for us that we have this salvation. It is the voice, the word of God that assures us. It's not feeling. I have tried that in the charismatic movement. Feeling, emotion. But it's no assurance. It's just ourselves. And there are so many today who are deceived because this kind of emotional experience is even entering and creeping into the Reformed churches. That's why we have hedonistic Christianity promoted by John Piper. Just if you delight and if you have this, you are assured you have this salvation, you have Christianity. The chief end of man is to glorify God and by enjoying Him forever. So if you enjoy God, then that's it. Really? Jesus says, if you follow me, come to follow me. You have to deny yourself. You have to carry your crosses and follow me. Of course, it's delightful when you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not easy. And that's why we have to make sure that we have entered the right gate. We have followed the right Savior, and we have known of His right sacrifice, His saving grace upon us. May the Lord help us to understand and and make us assured. I pray I'm not causing you for your mind to ask and question and doubt of your salvation. May we will be strengthened the more. For I am in Christ. The Spirit of God is in me. And I am assured of His kingdom in heaven. I'll be there with Him. How I long to be with Him. But while I'm here on earth, I will serve Him the best that I can. Because He has prepared me the best that He can. And that's how we serve the Lord. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I will thank You for the assurance of salvation to those who have entered the door of the sheep. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd who laid His life for us and take it up again. He died, He rose again, and He is now back in Thy presence, and He is coming back. Oh Lord, how we should look forward to His return. And while we await for that time, may we give ourselves, oh Lord, the best that we can for our Lord. For He has done so much for us. And how abundant is His grace upon us. We cannot be lazy and slack in our service because our Savior has done so much for us. And we pray that we truly will serve Him in the best of our ability, for the glory and honor of our Savior. For we pray and ask all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.